Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Well, you will have heard my previous guest, Hilary, reference the key consideration of looking after your health in retirement and making sure that you have facilities that will help you do that when you need help. We know getting old is part of life and that as we age, our bodies and our minds change as well. And some of those changes may just be a normal part of aging. Others might be warning signs of a medical problem to come. And it's really important to know the difference, which is why we've decided to get some help today from specialist research nurse from Stellenbosch University, Sister Irene Mabunga, who is on board to help us talk through some of the health changes that you may face. She has years of experience working with older people, including significant experience with dementia patients. And Irene, we're so glad to have you with us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
She's going to talk us through what to expect in your later years and how to make the necessary mental adjustments to try and preempt possible challenges as well. I just want to mention, though, there's more than one reason to have this conversation. It's not only about wanting to stay healthy. There is a financial aspect to the conversation, too. According to Discovery Health Medical Scheme, something like 60% of the total amount that you spend on medical bills over your lifetime will be spent after the age of 60. And given that we know medical inflation is actually currently higher than the consumer price inflation, that really gives you a sense of how vital it is to keep yourself as healthy as possible for as long as possible. Irene, I think most of us obviously know that changes come to the body and the mind as we age, but can you talk us through in general some of the big changes that we should be preparing ourselves for?
Well, as we grow older, a lot of people usually start suffering from things like high blood pressure, diabetes. People suffer from arthritis and other smaller ailments as they grow older. The problem with that is if they are poorly managed, if the diabetes is poorly managed or the high blood pressure is poorly managed, it can cause permanent damage to the brain, which would result in the elderly person not functioning as well as they would if all the elements had been properly managed.
Mm-hmm. That's physical changes that then spill over into the mental arena as well. What can we expect from our mental well-being as we grow older?
One of the things that happens is that if you have, say, high blood pressure, and you, as you get your treatment, but you still receive smaller strokes, what they call TIAs, transient ischemic attacks, those TIAs cause your brain to have little infarcts. That is a little death of the brain, little infarcts. Mm-hmm. You may have 3, 4, or 5 infarcts, depending on how many strokes, little strokes you've had. You won't even know that you've had those strokes because a lot of people just close down for about a minute. And when they wake up, they don't even realize that they had a small stroke. But usually, if the family is observant, when they wake up from that 1 minute blackout, they usually speak funny, or they use funny words. Mm-hmm. They can't remember the words that they are supposed to use. And if families are observant, then they realize that some damage has happened. And that, in fact, is what causes in the later life the dementia.
Okay. I know you've spent years working with patients with varying stages of dementia.
Yes.
It's something that I think a lot of people are very afraid of as they get older, that sense of I worry that this might happen to me.
It's true.
Are there any predictors of who is more at risk than another person of developing dementia?
I don't think so, because dementia has got to the most highly functioning people, and it just cuts them down. Yeah. And this other one that comes in earlier, the Alzheimer's disease, is the most unpredictable. So it is very difficult to say that you can predict that you would get dementia. Mm.
Okay. Irene, let's just take a step back. I want to have a longer conversation with you about dementia, but just to go back first to the general health picture. We all know through various stages of life that there are different preventative screenings that you should be doing if you're really looking after your health.
Yes.
Whether for women it's your yearly gyne visit, whether it's
yes.
mammograms as you get older.
Yes.
Do those increase in frequency as you get older? What are the sort of basic minimum preventative screenings that you would recommend for somebody in retirement?
those screenings should happen before retirement. Women should visit their clinics if they are not on medical aid. And the clinic sisters would give the way forward of when, usually it's two yearly, mm-hmm. the pap smears. And sometimes after 5 years, they have the breast mammograms. But if people have got medical aid, then their GPs would influence the time span between, mm-hmm. also depending on what kind of illnesses that particular person has had, because we're not all alike. Mm. Some people need more tests than others.
Thank you for that. Let's talk about some of the lifestyle factors that become increasingly important as we get older. We know that exercise is important. We know
Definitely.
That we have got to be very concerned about our diet and the role that can
yes.
play in health. Does that become even more important as you get older?
Definitely.
How so? Tell us a little bit more.
The more people get older, is the more people should get involved in looking after their lifestyle. The more healthier foods they should have. If, for instance, people are diagnosed with diabetes at age 60, the clinic or doctor would give them a diet list to say, these are the things that you can eat, and these are the things you should avoid, and these are the things you should take in minimum amounts. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't always adhere to those diet lists. They either say it's too expensive or is unattainable or whatever. But the best thing to do is to eat fresh fruit and vegetables and forget about the meat. The meat, we can survive without the meat. But a lot of people would rather survive with the meat and without the vegetables.
Especially
that
in South Africa.
That yeah. is the problem, yes.
I'm glad you mentioned food, because we've just actually had a question come in from Jenny on the SMS line asking what she can do to help encourage her mom to keep eating. She says she is very, very frail. She is elderly, and she really has just lost her appetite and her desire to eat. Jenny obviously knows that it's really important from a nutritional point of view that she
yes.
does keep eating. What advice would you give to somebody like Jenny?
Well, I have found out that there is, although I can't mention the name of the cereal, there's a cereal that is very good for ill and elderly people. And it's sold by the supermarkets. And it comes in strawberry, banana, and...
I'm very happy for you to mention the name, Irene. I'm sure everyone is trying to work it out at home. Please do.
Well, it's called, I'm going to think about it just now,
it
because
pro-neutral?
Not pro-neutral.
Not pro-neutral, no.
This one has got a juice in a little bottle, about 250 mils. Mm-hmm. The juice also comes in the same flavors
okay.
as the cereal. And it's also got some bread also made by the same company.
Okay.
But before the end of the show, I'm going to, maybe one of the listeners will remember and send SMS.
Future life.
Future life.
Thank you so much. Well
that
done. Thank you, Alan.
That future life, I think every elderly person who's ill should have that, because it's fantastic.
Is it enriched with additional nutrients and vitamins?
It's rich in yeah. nutrients and vitamins, and it doesn't need milk. You can have it with yogurt. You can have it with water. You can have it with anything you like.
Okay, thank you for that. Getting back to more general health concerns, let's talk a little bit about the impact of social well-being on physical well-being. In the last half hour of the show, we're going to talk a lot about maintaining healthy social relationships in retirement. Why is that important for one's physical health? Is there a link between feelings of loneliness and isolation and your
Definitely.
Physical well-being?
Definitely. And that is why family is so important. And that is why it is important that elderly people should not be left alone. Mm-hmm. They should always have someone to talk to. If they are forgetful, they should always have someone reminding them what day it is, what year it is, their birthdays, their important anniversary dates. They should always be reminded. And unfortunately, it doesn't always happen like that, because when elderly people start having some dementia, they always have some conflict with the family members. Maybe there's a family member that they don't like or something like that. And then the family members get cross with the elderly person, and then the elderly person is neglected. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the problems that we are facing in the communities.
How widespread is Alzheimer's in South Africa? I know you've worked widely in this specific field. Do we have stats on how prevalent it is?
There probably are stats, but I don't have them.
Okay, fair enough.
What I know is that there is a lot of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about the stats of Alzheimer's.
Okay. I mean, dementia, how does it present? I mean, for family members who want to be that vigilant, supportive family member, watching out for the signs that it is beginning, what are the early warning signs?
Starts off with forgetfulness. They forget things. They put things away and they can't remember where they've put them. They go to the shop, they can't remember where the home is. They get dressed, they put on the underwear, they can't remember to put on the overwear. Those little forgetful things are the first things that the family should look out for. And then it gets worse. Then they forget the names of their children. They forget the name. They forget that they've got a husband. And sometimes they throw the husband out of their room and say, what man is this? Mm. And they have forgotten that they are married. So it starts small, but it gets bigger.
Escalates. Obviously incredibly challenging, not only for the person going through it, but for the partners and family support.
The family, yes, definitely.
Now, if you're lucky to be in a position with private medical aid, with access to good support, with access to facilities like dementia care, as you could get in a village like the one we're sitting in today, that's
yes.
Wonderful. We know the realities
yes.
For many people, they don't have that.
They don't.
What support is available for those who are not in that lucky position?
Well, there are, unfortunately, in my culture, in the black culture, people don't like to take their elderly people to nursing homes.
Mm.
It's not looked on as something that should be done, but it is getting there. I also put my sister-in-law in a nursing home for 3 years, and I took her back home when she got better.
Mm-hmm.
Because luckily, some of them, when they are in a nursing home, in a routine, they regain some functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing is for the family to look after the person. They employ somebody to look after the person at home. And usually, if that person is trained on how to look after an elderly person. But the problem with that is that most people that look after the elderly people at home with dementia don't stay long, because they fight with the sufferer and they leave. And then you find that there is always somebody
constant
new,
turnover.
Constant turnover.
That's yes. Got to be very difficult for the patient with dementia, having that routine changed
it
all
is.
The time.
Mm. It is. And the other thing is that if there's one sibling, if the woman maybe has got 5 children and one sibling decides to stay at home and look after the mother, then the other 4 siblings or whatever always have a fight with her if they come visit and the mother says, she's ill-treating me, she doesn't give me food, she doesn't give me this, and then they believe the mother. And there's always
we
are trying to sort that out. So we are going to run workshops for all the people who have got families that have got Alzheimer's, that have got
dementia
at home.
I just want to recap for those who might have joined us late to this conversation that my guest in studio is Sister Irene Mabanga, who is a specialist research nurse with us from Stellenbosch University, talking about health challenges in retirement and particularly around the issue of dementia. If you have any questions for her, please do send an SMS to 31567 or you can leave a voice note on WhatsApp 0725671567. I believe you've got a question from the audience. It's Alan in the front row. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Papa, so much. Sister Irene, one of the problems I'm experiencing with my father right now, he's in his 80s, is that dizziness. And I believe it's a very common factor with older people.
Mm.
And I also believe statistically quite a few older people die this way, where they fall down.
Mm.
What can one do about that sort of thing?
Usually it is caused by low blood pressure. So if your father is suffering from dizziness, especially in the morning, one of the things that you need to do is to have him seen by the doctor. Then we will prescribe something for the dizziness. But the most important thing is that when he gets up in the morning, he must sit on the side of the bed with his legs down and not stand up immediately. And only stand when he has settled. Because the biggest mistake that people do is to get up and stand, and then they fall. But if they get up, sit on the side of the bed, until the body settles, then they get up. And the other thing is to have somebody hold him by the arm to take him to wherever he wants to go.
So he's found his feet, literally. Thank you, Alan. And there's an interesting question on the SMS line from Nikki in Bergfleet. She says, my mom is 89 and is exceptionally forgetful. She asks five or more times a day about arrangements that we've made. She often forgets the day of the week. How do I know if this is just age-relevant forgetfulness or a sign of actual dementia?
You won't know until you take your mom to a doctor, psychiatrist, and have her tested. There is something that the doctors do that they call a mini mental examination. The person is asked 30 questions, and out of that 30 questions, the doctor will assess how many she got right, how many she got wrong, and that 30 questions will determine if she is dementia or not.
Okay, thank you. A comment on Twitter from Anna, and this really strikes to the core of what we're discussing. Anna says, I looked after my mom with dementia until she died at age 90. I really needed some guidance, like a support group, because it is so lonely. And I'm sure a lot of people will relate to that comment. Are there support groups out there? I mean, what do you recommend for somebody who's in that position, who is feeling so alone?
Mental health has been neglected, very much so. And that is the reason why we are now starting to wake up and do something about it. And on the 21st of October, I think I told you I'm going to have a workshop on dementia. And I'm inviting people to come, because at that workshop on dementia, we want to start support groups for all those lonely carers who are looking after their parents, who have got no support, who do not know what to do, would not know how to answer the questions of their aging parents.
Irene, where are that workshop happening? Can we share
it's
that?
In Langa at a place called Gugastebe. Gugastebe is the information center for tourists in Langa, opposite the hall.
You can't miss it.
Okay. You can't miss
Thanks.
It.
21st
yes.
of October. And I have
it's in Irene's, the afternoon from okay. two, from 1 to 5.
I've got Irene's details, so if you'd like that information and you're not able to write it down right now, you can send me an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. It's actually very fitting that we're talking to you today on this very issue, because it's World Mental Health Day.
Yes.
We're also aware of the fact that the inquiry into the tragedy at Life Isidimeni is underway as we speak.
Yes.
I can't think of a more relevant day.
Yes.
Have we got time to squeeze in one last question from the audience? Yes, we do. Good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Hi, Sister Irene.
Hello.
I have a friend who has a partner who is only 61, and he has progressive dementia brought on by a physical ailment initially, affected his brain. One of the things, she needs the support group. I'm going to find out that information from you later, but one thing, she is finding very difficult to find somewhere where somebody with that age, in that age group, can be looked after, because most people with the dementia are 80 plus or going towards that side. Do you know of anywhere?
I think, where do they stay?
They stay on the West Coast side.
West Coast. I think the best thing would be to phone and ask the CPOA, because the CPOA in Cape Town has got 7 homes, but they would probably know of other homes in the West Coast. Or visit the social worker, the nearest social worker in their area.
Okay. Thank you for your question. Irene, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope listeners will come and join you at that workshop on the 21st. It sounds like it's really badly needed.
Yes.
Irene Mabanga has been our specialist nurse guest from Stellenbosch University. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks.